Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and this time we'll be talking about women in engineering. Also, we'll be looking at some electrifying technology developments in the US, and of course, we have questions from you. As always, we're joined by Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, nice to see you again. Welcome to the podcast.
And you too, Tim. Great to be here.
Another busy period for you, Charles, I know. Let's start with the recent D-Day commemorations that centred around Portsmouth. It was a huge occasion attended by the Queen and President Trump, as well as many other heads of state. And you were there too, Charles. It must have been a very emotional event.
It was. It was a very, very significant event for all of us. And not least of which, we had all the veterans there, and actually to sit and talk to them and hear firsthand some of their experiences left a really strong impression on me. It was a very humbling experience. And of course, on top of that, we had, you know, the leaders of the free world there with us, US President, UK Prime Minister, leaders of Canada, France, Germany, among many others. So it really was a very significant day. I think the team that organised it put on a great show for the UK, and it really did recognise very well the great efforts that people have put into it. And I must admit, I was very proud to be there and play a part in that day.
Right, thank you for that, Charles. Don't move. We are coming back, and we will continue our conversation with Charles next.
Our conversation.
Now, Charles, let's pick up our conversation then. I know you've also had a recent trip to the US with the board. What did that cover on that visit?
Yes, it was a great visit, in fact. These board visits, I know, actually take a lot of preparation and work. So, I have to thank the teams for putting on an excellent demonstration of their capabilities for the whole BAE Systems PLC board. So we visited Endicott in New York, which is the headquarters for the Electronic Systems Power and Propulsion Solutions and also the Control and Avionics Solutions businesses. It really was an enlightening day, and I certainly learned a lot from it, and the board members came away. And certainly if I could just sort of capture the degree of excitement from the board as they left, I think, the people that were presenting probably felt that, but I would just like to convey that it really was a great day, and the board members all left, I think, with a genuinely strong and greater appreciation for what we do there.
And do you actually get a chance, Charles, to talk to employees and colleagues when you're there?
Yeah, so also we had a Q&A session with about 100 of the employees locally from the area, which I did with Jerry and Sir Roger. And we got some great questions. It's always, interesting to sort of get out and meet our employees, get the questions and be able to sort of understand what's on their minds, and also to sort of try and, feed in, what we're thinking about and some of the direction of travel for the overall global business. So we got a lot out of that. And I hope the employees that were there also, enjoyed that opportunity to have a good broad discussion about culture, capabilities, technology developments, investment in the business, all the things that are on our minds, and being able to have that conversation was very good for all of us.
Now, as part of your trip there, you met Etisham Siddiqui, Vice President and General Manager of the Controls and Avionics Solutions business, and also Steve Treachka, Vice President and General Manager of the Power and Propulsion Solutions business. They join us on the line now. Welcome to you both. Firstly, Etisham, let me start with you. Tell us a little about the Controls and Avionics Solutions business.
We are the leader in fly-by-wire flight controls, digital engine controls, and cabin management systems. On the commercial side of our business, which is about 75% of our overall revenues, our flight controls can be found on all of the modern commercial air transport. Anytime you fly on a commercial aircraft that has a GE engine on it, it's our engine control that's managing the engine. Our customers are primarily Boeing, GE, and then the commercial airlines. On the military side, we also provide mission systems such as mission and display processing, weapon controls, and the vehicle management systems, where our key customers are Boeing and Lockheed Martin. We take great pride in the fact that every second a plane takes off somewhere in the world, enabled by our flight critical systems.
Etisham, I understand you're also seeing a lot of activity in the aircraft electrification market. Tell us more about that.
So, Tim, aircraft electrification is essentially replacing conventional aircraft systems with electrical components like generators, motors, batteries, and controls. And the primary objective here is to realize reductions in both operating costs as well as in emissions and noise. You may be reading about aircraft engine companies developing a hybrid propulsion engine that will use motors to turn the propellers or fan instead of a turbine engine, and several demonstrators are planned in the 2021 and 2022 timeframe on both regional aircraft such as the Dash 8 or the Dornier 328. Aside from this, a separate segment called the urban air mobility is also emerging, led by Uber. The concept here is for you and I to be able to hop on an aircraft to get to the airport or select destinations, just like we hop on an Uber car today. This segment has the potential of tens of thousands of 4 to 6 passenger aircraft operating in key cities around the world. Essentially, this would equate to the era of the Jetsons coming into being, enabled by the developments in battery technology and battery management technologies.
So what would you say then are some of your near-term goals?
So the near-term goals is to demonstrate a system on the hybrid engine with GE in the 2021 timeframe, as well as demonstrated on the urban air mobility platforms in the 2021 and 2022 timeframe, both in the area of energy management and controls.
Steve Treacherka, let me bring you into the conversation. Tell us about your part of the business, if you will.
The Power Propulsion Solutions business actually grew out of some of the controls work that Edisham's business did 25, 30 years ago. The core competencies on the Endicott campus and to some extent in Rochester, UK, are around high-integrity power electronics that are very robust, and also in controls and how you control a vehicle. So what we did many years ago, 25 years ago, was take some of those core competencies and apply them into the ground vehicle market, particularly working on city buses. We've leveraged that capability over. We've also designed our own electric motors, our own electric generators, and our own battery systems to be able to move a vehicle in either electric hybrid mode or full electric mode. Taking those core competencies and applying them to that city bus market, we've now grown into the largest electric, hybrid, and all-electric propulsion provider for the city bus market across North America and Europe combined.
Okay, and Steve, what are you doing then to evolve, to keep ahead of the curve?
I would say that we've been evolving almost continuously. There's obviously a very strong demand for these capabilities across the board, not only in transit, but as we're seeing with Edisham's business, in aircraft as well. So we've had to continuously keep our product upgraded and fresh and as efficient as possible in terms of its delivery of power on a vehicle, and also as cost-effective as possible. There's tremendous competition coming in from many different points across the world, large industrial companies, small startup companies. So the business has evolved not only in making our products as good as they can possibly be, but also on the competitive landscape, and we've evolved from having a very small market share working with only one city bus company in North America to having now 8 different companies that we work with across North America and Europe. And we are now have won our initial job into South America in Santiago, Chile, and are evaluating very closely and working with some partners in India to try to attack that market.
Okay, thank you to Edisham and Steve for joining us on the podcast. We'll meet our studio guests shortly. Before that, Charles, would you like to comment on some of the things they were talking about there? Because that was really interesting stuff in terms of the technology, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating and a great day. And to see what struck me as a sort of a, from a technology engineering perspective, and Steve touched on it, is, you know, the origin of the hybrid drive business as it was, and now the sort of the overall propulsion solutions business, came from the electronic controls, the engine controls that we were doing, went into sort of a hybrid drive type, you know, drivetrain, what you can do for buses. And now some of that, you know, thought process and capability is, you know, finding its way back into the air domain. So it's in a sense come full circle and back where it is. And I find that absolutely fascinating how, you know, a great idea can start in one domain, move across, and with the strength of engineering gets developed and then finds its way back into other parts of the business or back where it started here. And, you know, so to see that and to see that, you know, core capability all being developed, there in Endicott, and also get a snapshot of the opportunities that we have for that business. And as you heard from Etisham, there are some very exciting opportunities. I mean, the whole civil air market and the order backlogs that both Boeing and Airbus have, and the future visibility of that is absolutely tremendous. And to find a way into that, or increasing a presence in that, would give us growth and longevity, for our business for many years to come.
Okay, Charles, thank you very much. Very interesting stuff. Coming up next, we're going to meet our studio guest on this edition of the podcast. You're listening to Our Conversation. I'm Tim Smith, and as promised then, time now to meet our studio guest on this edition of the podcast. It's Joe Wood, who's recently taken up the role of Group Engineering Director. Joe, really nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
First question, the obvious question, how are you settling into the new job?
I am absolutely loving it. Anyone who knows me and has known me throughout my career in BAE knows that this is my dream job. It's the one that I've been saying for a couple of years. That's what I want to do. I want to be in that group role.
And I'm told that working in defence in particular is in the family, thanks in part to your father, is that correct?
Yep, that's right. My dad worked for Ministry of Defence for his whole career. So he was a research scientist within the MOD, and he was pretty much responsible for designing and creating all the detonators that we have in the UK military.
All right, moving on. BAE Systems has recently marked International Women in Engineering Day. It's something we've spoken about on the show before, and it's been an area of focus for engineering companies for quite some time. It still seems, though, that there's an imbalance with fewer women than perhaps there should be in engineering. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
There definitely are fewer women than the men in engineering. In BAE particularly, we've got about 12% of our engineers are female, which when you consider, obviously, we're 50% of the population, it is quite low. Much of that is still driven by culture around the messages that boys and girls receive when they're younger. Which is why we do quite a lot of work with STEM activities, getting out into schools roadshows, encouraging our population to be STEM ambassadors and get out there and talk to people.
And in terms of engineering, do women bring different skills into the mix?
They do bring different skills. In talking in generalisations, just diversity of thought is always positive, whether it's through gender, whether it's through being a veteran, whether it's through coming up through a commercial rather than a defence environment. Having diversity of thought in a room is always going to bring benefit to a business.
So overall, what are BAE Systems then doing to keep the trend on women in engineering heading in the right direction? And are they speeding it up, do you think?
Definitely. We do a number of initiatives with the Royal Academy of Engineering in terms of identifying people who are from minority backgrounds that we can encourage to apply through the graduate scheme. We do a lot of work with schools and we do a lot of work with encouraging people who have just joined us from university to go back into that university and talk about the good work that we do. I think our greatest thing that we do is just have role models throughout the business, and we have a strong mentoring culture and senior sponsorship where people can see that it is possible to succeed and that, an inclusive culture is what we're driving for.
And what would you say then overall also are the critical skills that you're looking for in order to make sure that the engineering function and indeed BAE Systems has what it needs for the future, which again, the future is all important, isn't it?
So generically, what we are looking for in terms of engineering disciplines is software skills, systems engineering skills, product security, digital. They're the areas where we are have a general shortfall in engineering right now.
So in a sense, it's about developing skills within the business and also attracting new people to the business.
And that is absolutely right. So we obviously pick people who have that sound technical education, but so much of it is about making sure that we are developing people who we've found with the right attributes. So people who have a curiosity, people who want to learn, people who have a sense of how to make things work. They're things that we look for across the entire population.
Okay, Charles, let me bring you into this. We know from previous conversations that BAE Systems works hard on both gender balance and diversity more broadly. How do you keep responding to that challenge? Is it still a priority for the executive committee? And Jo makes some really interesting points there, doesn't she?
I agree. I think very interested, and I think encouraged to hear Jo's comments on that. As Jo said already, in fact, diversity and inclusion, they are absolutely key to building the right environment that we need for success, which is why it's so high on the EC agenda. And you know, I mentioned in last month's show that the How We Work survey told us that we're not always as good at embracing diverse thinking as we should be. And we recognise that that will hold us back. So we have to get better at that. We have to recognise that that diversity, just as Joe said, that diversity of thinking, you know, leads to better outcomes. I mean, I think there's been plenty of studies to show that, that, you know, you need around a table to have a diversity of opinions, which typically comes from diversity of people, diversity of background, diversity of experiences. That usually leads to a lack of groupthink, or the opposite of groupthink, where you're looking at different ideas, and we want to see more of that around the table. You know, my commitment is to make sure that we lead an organization with an inclusive culture where everybody feels that they can be themselves and contribute at their best. And so therefore, you know, increasing diversity is an important part of that.
Okay, Joe and Charles, thank you very much indeed. Very interesting conversation. Do stay with us. In fact, you have to stay with us. You can't go, because we've got colleague questions for you both coming next. Right, time now then to put both Charles and Joe in the hot seat, as I've already mentioned. Our first question is for you, Charles. It comes from Carl Wilson, who's a senior project manager in electronic systems. Carl, hello, welcome to our podcast. What's your question, please, for Charles?
Hi, Charles. Hi, Joe. I've read recently we've acquired a company called Riptide in the US. Could you tell us a bit more about that and why it's a good move for us?
Absolutely, Carl. So Riptide is a good example of what I would describe as a bolt-on technology acquisition. And by that, I mean it's a relatively small company with some very exciting and great technology that, you know, we can take into our business to enhance our project portfolio and the products that we can offer to our customers. Riptide Autonomous Solutions produces unmanned underwater vehicles, and specifically the small UUVs, as they're known. It's a very interesting growth area. Many people know very well of the drones, of the unmanned in the air domain, but there is a parallel set of developments going on in the undersea, you know, battle space. And, you know, we've been working on a number of programs there, and we see this acquisition as accelerating our presence in the space. And it's an opportunity to combine, you know, that platform, that ability to, you know, get some of our sonar, signal processing, sensor fusion, undersea communications, electronic warfare, and the whole autonomous systems into a different space. You know, our customers, you know, are looking for affordable, adaptable platforms and a way of effectively making this autonomous capability in the underwater space affordable, and something that we can, you know, combine with the measurements that we already have and the systems that we already have, and come together and offer something unique in the space.
Charles, thank you very much. Carl Wilson, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and thank you for that question. Our second question, moving on, is for you, Joe, and it's from Zan Qureshi, systems engineer in Naval Ships. Welcome to the podcast, Zan. What's your question for Joe then?
Hi, Joe. It's great to speak to you. You've been in the role a couple of months now, and I just wondered if you could share your initial observations and what your immediate priorities are for the engineering function.
Hi, Zan. It's great to talk to you. My initial observations are just the absolute scale of what we do across BAE Systems. I'm used to being in naval ships where you are, looking at, you know, one particular group and the challenges that we see there and the opportunities. And as soon as you start looking across all of the different sectors, you know, the challenges multiply, the same problems in each area, but the opportunities also multiply. And you can start to connect the dots and see where we can actually make the difference and tie up little pockets of best practice and really pull it together. And some of the areas that I'm looking at doing that are in critical skills and resourcing, somewhere where we've got areas across the business where we're desperately short on resource, and we're looking at how we can combine the effort on that from the centre. Another area is product security, how we can improve the company's offering and the awareness of the benefits that we can get by bringing product security into the business and the life cycle sooner. And the other one I'd really like to focus on is smart product development. And that really is looking at how we can work smarter and be more competitive, how we can look at getting our product development more cohesive and more model-based as we move forward on complex programs within the business. So there are three areas that I'm looking at. So making sure we have our focus on product integrity, that we have a real focus on capability and on governance and on operational excellence. You know, the reason we're here, making sure that our programs are delivering.
Sounds like a busy time. Thank you. Sounds like a comprehensive answer. Zan, does that answer your question, or is there anything else you'd like to say to Joe?
No, that was a really amazing answer.
Oh, thanks, Zan.
Yeah, I thought it was a good answer as well.
I was about to say, Joe, you're going to be very busy. You certainly are.
OK, Zan, thank you very much indeed for that question. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. If you'd like to pose a question on a future podcast or make a comment on anything you've heard, all you have to do is drop us a line to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. Now, before we close the programme, a couple of final bits of business, Charles. First of all, the Chairman's Awards nominations deadline is fast approaching, I know.
Indeed, yes. As you said, it's getting close. It's the 9th of August. So just to remind everybody that the Chairman's Award nomination window closes on the 9th of August. So I really encourage everybody to get involved, get their nominations into the system, because it is really one of the highlights of the year. And I think that whole process, you know, really does celebrate the very best of the best. And so I encourage you to all get that in for the 9th of August. And then the other thing, of course, that we're going to be working hard on is in the lead up to the half year results on the 31st of July. So, you know, Pete and I are obviously going to be doing a fair bit of work, you know, preparing for that. And we'll update you more on that and on the next podcast.
Charles, thank you very much indeed for joining us. As always, that's it for this edition of Our Conversation. We're back next month with the welcome return of Pete Lynas. And as Charles has mentioned, the half year results. Plus, we'll be hearing about the company's new partnership with Invictus UK. So until then, from me, Tim Smith, our studio guest, Joe Wood, and from Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.